Hi ho ho, and welcome to a Boy Time feature presentation. I am your host, Harry Dubois, joined by Baby, as always.
Yes.
This is our little short mini podcast thing. We're going to be talking about Disco Elysium, a game that came out 5 years ago, something like that.
Like that.
Around there. Me and you have both beaten it within the last couple of weeks. And so now we're going to talk about it. So
yippee.
That's what we're doing here today. I guess I don't know how we're going to get started.
I'm not sure. This is the first of this series, I suppose.
Yes. So it's a little different than our usual podcasts, which have a structure. This one is kind of structured in that it is just one thing we're talking about, but I guess we just got to figure out where to start. I guess I could give a little intro for what the game is generally about as kind of a jumping off point.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess for those who have not played the hit game Disco Elysium,
there's going to be a lot of spoilers.
There's going to be a lot of spoilers. So I guess viewer discretion advice. I think both of us would highly recommend it.
Yes.
So go out and play it. If it's not necessarily your thing, I don't necessarily blame you, because I was in the same boat. But it did eventually click. And now I would probably rate it one of my favorite RPGs of all time. A genre that I don't usually delve into a whole lot, but it's like in a, I don't even know what the setting is, like what comparable setting it would be in the real world. It gives off like French vibes. That's kind of the vibe I get.
It is pretty European.
Yeah, kind of European, Western European, maybe.
Creators of the game. Yeah.
I think they're, yeah. Yeah. They're somewhere like central, I think. And basically you start off and you're a detective that has basically been on a 2 week drinking and drug binge, to the point where your entire memory is gone. And so basically you wake up, somewhat conscious, and basically your partner shows up, Kim Watanabe. Is that his last name?
Kitsuragi. Watanabe Kitsuragi. Is a fashion design clothing brand.
Oh, okay.
Or something like that.
All close enough. Your partner shows up, basically a detective from a different precinct, and he's like, why didn't you do anything about the case for like the last 2 weeks? And so that's basically where the game starts, is that there's this body that's hanging behind the hostel that you're staying in, and then you have to basically solve the murder. And I guess that's the main story of the game, is finding the murderer.
Maybe the least important mission of the game, honestly.
Yeah, probably. But that's the jumping off point.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole lot going on in the world that you find yourself in, more than just the body that's been hanging behind this hostel for the last week or so. So, I guess we can jump into everything else, because, because that was definitely, I think, the most interesting thing. It might be easier if we like start at the end and work our way back.
Yeah, this is going to be pretty unfocused, I think.
Yeah.
You get the idea.
It's kind of hard to talk about this game because it is so big. And I think we've only played through it once. I'm going to say
that. I have started a second playthrough, but I haven't gotten very far.
Okay. So neither of us have really gotten everything.
I have 32 hours in it. So.
Okay. I have 24. And that's split I tried playing it twice before, didn't get very far. So I probably have around 15 hours in my first playthrough, which I've heard is ridiculously fast.
I would imagine so, considering it took me like 28 to get through mine.
But that being said, I did do it pretty fast, but I was looking at all of the different endings that we could get before we did this conversation. Cool. And I did get the true ending, the true good ending, I guess you could say.
I don't know which one I got, so.
Okay, well, I'll just ask you, did you see the giant praying mantis?
Yes, I did.
Okay, because that is the true ending, I guess. And I think I did kind of flub it, because I did look at this just earlier today as I was kind of prepping for this, just being like, okay, well, what are we going to talk about? And I did see the praying mantis, but I think I goofed, because apparently you can talk to it. I didn't talk to it.
Oh, you didn't talk to it.
I did not talk to it.
That was like a whole 20-minute thing.
Yes, I realize that. I realize that now. That was the whole thing. I thought, because the way that it happened for me is that Kim was there, and he pulled his little camera thing out that only had one shot in it. And I don't know what I was supposed to do, but I'm like, no, don't take a picture. You're going to scare it. And I thought, okay, well, that'll do something. But then it just ran off. And I didn't get a chance to talk to it.
Yeah.
And so
I talked to it, and then I took the picture, and then it was fine.
Okay. So I didn't talk to it, but that is the true ending, is if you see the praying mantis, talk to it, and then I eventually recruited Kim to Precinct 41, which is, I think that is the good ending. The true ending is if you see the praying mantis. I would assume
so, yeah.
So we got pretty, we got the same ending, I'm assuming.
Pretty much.
Similar. But I imagine that we got there very differently. I mean, you have 10 more hours roughly in your first playthrough than I did. I guess, but that is kind of indicative of good game design in that.
Yes.
If you really want to, the developers really have made a world of really, of a lot of like complex characters and all these intricate storylines that are going on really behind the scenes. Cause if you're like me and I was interested in the case, and the case itself had a lot of twists and turns in it that I wasn't expecting, made me do things that I regret, really made me feel bad.
I was the opposite. I did not care about the case.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it has something for everybody, and then that does lead to a really great replay value in that, like, I've seen people put, like, 6 playthroughs down and, like, still feel like there's still something out there that they haven't seen, which is crazy.
I never replay single-player games unless it's, like, The Last of Us or something.
Yeah.
But I could see myself playing this, like, once or twice more.
I feel like I probably should, because I feel like I goofed. I definitely goofed because I wanted to talk to the praying mantis. I didn't realize you could until I checked the ending thing, and then it was like, yeah, that's actually the whole thing. That explains the whole thing better than just talking to the actual killer, which I guess is the finale of the game.
Yeah. I think you have to play this game knowing that the journey is a lot better than the destination.
Well,
it's not going to pay off as well as you think it's going to if you just are, like, focused on getting there, I think.
I don't know. I really liked it. I really liked the ending. Okay. I just thought that guy was so interesting. And that, like, it's a character concept that I haven't seen before. And I guess, we already said spoilers, but...
Oh, yeah. We're really getting into it now, so...
Basically,
leave if you have not
leave now. Basically the killer is like this old, I think he's like a communist. Was he a deserter? Was that his thing?
He deserted from the communist forces during the collapse of the revolution, I believe.
Yes. And so basically he's just been on this island off the coast of Revachol and just... I think he just watches people through his scope, but he just, like, is too afraid to not even afraid. I don't know. It's just like he can't go home or to the mainland because he's going to get arrested by the non-communist government forces that basically wiped his regime or revolutionary force out. And so he's just kind of stuck. And so he's just watching the world go by through the scope on his sniper rifle. And until he eventually fires at the hanged man. And so that's the whole thing. But just talking super to sick. Him, it's really sick.
I should have done like what's that one game where you play a sniper and you get to like see the bullet? Like,
Sniper Elite.
Yeah.
I wish they did that. So cool. Yeah, I don't know. It was just like, I don't play a ton of detective games. I really do like the detective genre of storytelling, especially movies and TV shows. So, like, this game was kind of right up my alley. I think what originally turned me off was that I'm like, oh, this is too wacky. This is too kooky. I don't care about, like, I think, like, maybe a little bit of it kind of fell into, like, XD drug humor. At the very beginning, like with electrochemistry, I think my electrochemistry was really high or something.
And oh yeah. Mine was super low.
Mine was too, but I think it was just like talking to me and like, oh, you gotta do drugs. I'm like, this is, I'm trying to solve a murder case here. I don't like being tempted. So I think it just took me a long time, and it took some like actually playing RPGs that are a little more accessible, because I don't think this game is especially accessible to like new to the genre. It's more accessible than say like the original Fallout games, but
yes,
just in that it's a modern game and it has modern control schemes and, you know, UI that works and is somewhat intuitive.
I think this works better in Baldur's Gate when it comes to like camera movement and stuff.
I would agree.
Like I get in Baldur's Gate and I'm like, this feels off. Like, why can't I just like stick the camera to my guy?
That's true. That should be a thing.
It should be.
And I don't remember. I know that this game has changed a lot, because the first time I tried to play it, you couldn't use WASD. It was just point and click, whatever.
Yeah. I know this game's gone under like a lot of changes. This is the final cut. I know before the final cut, there was not voice acted for every single line in the game. Yep. So there's a lot of points where there wasn't that. And then there was a whole thing where the owners kind of got their IP stolen by this bigger dev company.
Oh.
I don't know the intricacies of that, but I know that the original creators of the game kind of got robbed.
Oh, interesting.
Which is really unfortunate, because this thing is fantastic.
Yeah.
But I don't know all the intricacies of that, because honestly, I didn't want to get mad. So
true. Yeah, I do know. I don't know why, but this is like a trend when it comes to RPG games, especially like really kind of artistically driven RPG games. Like those original Fallout games, you know, they may be impossible to run now, but like, they are some of the best RPG games of all time. And then Bethesda, I think the company that made them went broke, and then Bethesda bought it, and now it's this giant thing. Yep. Same with like Vampire, the Masquerade series, or even something like Prey. That was a thing way before, and Thief. Like all of these kind of RPG, kind of immersive sim type games, just they always go bankrupt, and I don't understand why. Because they get like a lot of critical acclaim. Like this game got a ton of critical acclaim. They even won, I think, Best Innovative Gameplay at the Game Awards, where they cited Marx and Engels as giving them their political education, which is funny.
Which I will talk about later.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess we could just dedicate an entire segment to the politics of this game, because it's pretty interesting. Yeah. Yes, it is central.
I think if you take the politics out of this game, then the world building falls flat. And I think more games should take like actual real politic into building their worlds, because it doesn't feel believable if you don't.
Absolutely.
Like, I solved this case based off of the historical materialist perspective that the devs put into this game. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew who to talk to and who to trust and who to stay away from because of all of that.
Yes.
So I guess we can get into like character builds and like what we did.
Sure.
Because that might help differentiate.
We can do that.
Because I immediately put all my points into rhetoric. Because going into this game, I knew that two communists made it, and I knew that politics was a part of a game.
Yes.
So I'm like, I'm going to dive as deep into this as I possibly can. I think I ended the game where it's like your little journal or whatever. I think I had like 43 communist dialogue options.
Oh, I didn't. Like, I've not checked that.
Two liberal ones and one moralist one or whatever.
Yeah.
But I dove so far into that, and the politics are really good. I think the humor is really good in it too, because it doesn't take itself too serious. And like the root concepts of things are very like real and true. And it's like, oh, yep, this is how you would actually talk to someone like this. Yes. But then they get really wacky as you go on, and it's like just dogmatic garbage. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny because they make fun of themselves for it.
Yes.
I got one achievement. That's called Avowed Inframaterialist. 1.5% of players have it.
Oh.
If you go so far down the communist rabbit hole, you get a side quest where you can meet up with, like, other communists, and you go to, like, this book club, and it's just two, like, college nerds. And they talk to you about inframaterialism, which is basically they take, like, a character who I think is supposed to be Lenin. But instead of, like, having his groundbreaking theoretician stuff, they make him, like, some guy who invented, like, the theory that plants grow better the more evolutionary your people are.
Mm.
It's really weird. But, yeah, it goes, like, really, really in-depth on everything. I mean, even, like, no game does that, or no piece of media really does that, or has the balls to do that, where it's like, if you take a historical materialist perspective, you can understand the entire history of Revachol. You can understand the entire revolutionary period. You can understand the politics between the union and the company.
Mm-hmm.
All of that comes to light just through like the encyclopedia and the rhetoric options, which is really cool. Cause that's the part where I dove in immediately.
Yeah.
It was just really great. Like that. I feel like you get the full breadth of the characters when you do that too. And you don't like shy away from it. So that was something completely unique that you'll probably not find in a game ever. I feel like Wolfenstein's the only other game that is like as blunt in its politic.
It's very blunt. I wouldn't say it's done as smart as this.
It's game. Not done as smart, but it has a very good take on fascism.
Oh, like absolutely.
It deconstructs the ideology perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. It has the same vibe of like 80s action movies. Mm-hmm. But instead of communists, it's fascists. And it's like such a breath of fresh air, because it's like sometimes you feel bad about killing enemies in games. Like, I mean, Last of Us 2 like does that, you know?
Yeah. And to varying successes.
Yeah.
Some of it's just like torture porn, but some of it, you know.
I know people like make fun of it, but having the enemies like call the people that you kill by their first name.
It's a small detail, but it's
really great world building, and it kind of makes you feel bad. It's kind of like, well, you shouldn't name something that you're going to destroy, because then you're going to feel bad about it.
Right.
It's kind of that same principle, but Wolfenstein just like, no, kill Nazis and have fun doing it.
It's great.
And it's awesome. Like those games are fun. But yeah, it's obviously not going for the political depth that this game is. And it really, this game especially kind of gives you options to explore different political ideologies in a very smart, I'm going to keep saying smart, but I mean, I do think that a lot of care went into not just making stereotypes about different political ideologies, where I don't feel like anybody necessarily is going to feel made fun of necessarily for any of their beliefs. I mean, I didn't play a free market guy, because that's not who I am.
I'm tempted to do that, but I can't bring myself to do it.
I don't know.
There's achievements for going hard in all of the different ideologies.
Yeah. There's even like, well, okay, maybe if you're a centrist, you might get made fun of, because the achievement for being a centrist is world's most laughable centrist.
Yeah, I will say this game's take on centrism is absolutely phenomenal. It will make fun of centrism so hard and just point out how blatantly stupid it is.
Yes.
It's really funny.
I will say that I did get some pretty, they were like some brown slacks, and I'm like, oh, what are these? It has like +1 and like moralism, and I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to wear these pants. And though, even though I was a communist the entire time, when I talked to the sniper at the end, because I was wearing the centrism pants, he was like, you're a fake communist. I know it. I'm like, no, you don't understand. To be fair,
the guy at the end was very jaded.
Oh, yeah.
I liked how they wrote him as like, this was his one goal in life and it crumbled and he has nothing else to fall back on. So he's like literally collapsing with himself. Which is kind of a mirror to what Harry is. And you kind of meet him and it's like, here's this ideal communist soldier that you want to become. He's just like, it's over. He's like, the material conditions for revolution are impossible. Like the entire working class has been betrayed by a bourgeois co-opted union against a fascistic company.
Yeah.
And he's just like in such a deep mind rut that he's calling everything bourgeois. And it's like, he called like the rock and roll music you listen to on the way over, like bourgeois and stupid.
Oh,
It gets to the point where he kind of just collapses in on himself. It's brilliant writing. This game would not be nearly as good as it was if it did not play with like the politics as hard as it did.
No.
I mean, 3 hours into the game, I was debating people over free market ideology, like, hardcore. It was insane.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've never had an experience like this anywhere. Even just the side quests, like I got so sucked into this game immediately. It's like as soon as the game started and like I got Kim as my partner, I immediately like found a bookstore and like did a 3-hour side quest involving some curtains that a lady didn't want you to go behind to like investigate a doomed financial district. But it was just hilarious. The dialogue's really funny. I just started a new playthrough where it's like I put all of my points into physical attributes. So I'm just like this gigantic meathead. It plays very differently.
I'm sure. Yeah, I basically had the yellow and the pink ones, which are like your physical well-being, I guess. I had those as my lower ones and then the blue and purple is high. And I went hard in on Encyclopedia, which maybe was a bad decision.
No, it was a great decision.
No, I kept everything. Everything had two paragraphs to say for itself. Like, I don't care about
That's why it took 29 hours for me to beat it.
Well, I know. It's just like I'd pick up, I would like interact with something and then Encyclopedia would be like success hard. And then it's like two paragraphs of like the history of this brand that made this specific item. And I'm like, I don't care about, this is not going to help me at all, except sometimes it does.
It does. That's the thing.
Yeah. But I'm like, I'm not reading this. This and maybe that's why I don't gravitate towards RPGs and this type of game very often.
Well, usually I don't care about the world. But with this one, it's like they go so deep into it that it's very interesting. And when it's from this perspective, I am just drawn into everything.
Sure.
Because it is like all interconnected, which is really cool.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're giving me two paragraphs, but I'm like, there's going to be some useful or interesting tidbit here that I'm going to use later, or I'm going to at least like, it just helps build the world.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yes, it is very, very good at doing that. Just, you know me, I skip and I am bad at it. I'm not really drawn to story-driven games the way I used to be. And anything that requires me to read, I'm like, I can't do it. Although I think I have recently discovered that I may or may not be dyslexic because just reading text is really hard for me. So I think that might be a part of it. Which, side note, maybe going into history is the wrong thing to do if you are suspicious that you
don't like reading.
The entire thing is reading. So it was very hard.
It's true.
So, yeah, this game is not necessarily made for me, but I think adding voice acting was huge because when first played it, didn't have voice acting at all. I think just the intro bit where like you're talking to like your lizard brain or whatever, that was all voice acted, and then everything else wasn't. And then it was, no WASD. It was just kind of like inaccessible to a scrub like me, who is a little bit meat-headed when it comes to the games I like. But yeah, but somehow it clicked, and I think it was like once the dam closed or whatever, and you can go over to the other side of the city or whatever, the port. That kind of clicked, and everybody there I was interested in. I was talking to those drunks forever. Just them telling me all sorts of different stories. I forgot what that guy's name was.
I forgot. I don't remember. It's something crazy.
Yeah. I will say this game has a lot of the F slur in it. And did you notice that it's only uncensored once? Yes. At least in my experience, it was only uncensored once, and it kind of made me reel a little bit.
Whoa.
Yeah. But it was like, it wasn't like, I don't know. It wasn't like they uncensored it because that one was supposed to mean something, like that one, like you're supposed to pay attention to it. I think they just uncensored it because it was the slang for cigarette.
Yes, that is what it was, actually.
And I'm like, oh, okay. I get it.
Using the true form.
Yeah. It was just like, oh, wait, they said it. Like every single time, like everybody's throwing around that word throughout like most of this game. Just talking to Kuno is just all that. But that one time they say it, I was like, well, kind of made me double take. But I don't know. What else is there to say about Disco Elysium?
I don't know. The humor of it is really, really good. Like, there are points where it's just, like, so ridiculous that, like, I can't believe it goes there. I love having the different parts of your head when they talk to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Because they contradict each other all the time.
Yeah.
I also love that you can ask people for money. In my new playthrough, I went to the Wild Pines, negotiator chick.
Oh yeah.
And I asked her for money, and my brain is like, you should yell it. Like you need to like ask for money in a very particular way. And then like the other part of my brain cuts in and just says, yell as loud as you can. So I just shouted money at her and it worked.
Oh yeah. I had something similar, and it was when you meet the, whatever chick on the balcony. When you're first talking to her, I forgot her name. It's like Katya.
Classe, but that's not her Classe, real name.
Yeah. You're talking to her, and then like all of your senses are like telling you one thing. And I think there's like, I think it might have been a red check, and it was like 8%, but I tried it and succeeded. And then just my volition was like, everything that all of your other senses are telling you is a lie. Listen to me only, because you are being duped right now. Everything that she is saying is a lie. And then like for the rest of the conversation, like one of the emotions or something would say something, and then volition would come in and say, you're being lied to, like every single time. And then when Kim would say something, he would say, he's getting duped too. Listen to me. I'm like, whoa, this is weird.
It's really cool.
Yeah. And like, once I started like listening to volition, I'm like, wait, she is lying. Like very obviously so, but like everybody around me is confirming.
You just become Dale Cooper. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's so cool. That was probably my favorite interaction in the game, was that one moment. And then I did end up arresting her because...
Oh, you did? Okay.
I did. Well, mainly because I'm like, I didn't know that Kim was going to be gone for the rest of the day. I was just like, Kim, maybe like put her in a holding cell or something in case we need to talk to her, because she's a flight risk. I was playing it like a good cop.
Gotcha.
I don't
know. I was like, I was communist first, everything else second.
Okay.
Well, so, like, person fleeing from a big corporation for stealing funds or whatever she did, not arresting her. Right. So I wonder, yeah, I guess what happened differently, because I didn't arrest her.
I
got on the trail for Ruby, I think was her name.
Yes. Yeah.
Let her go because she was going to kill me.
She killed herself for me.
Did she?
She did. Okay. And I tried to talk her down. Because you go under a building and then she has like some sort of like sonic device.
Radio wave.
Yeah. Like makes you unable to move. I destroyed it. And then as soon as it was destroyed, she just pulled out a pistol and put it up to her head.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah.
And I was like, yo, don't do that. And then like for a second, she was like, no. And then she did it anyways.
Interesting.
And like I went back, I like, oh, I don't want her to die.
Yeah.
So like I went back and tried it differently and she still ended up killing herself. So I don't know what I was doing wrong. But
I do that 5 times because my health was so low. I only had 1 health bar. So if I got hit at all, I had to heal or die. Oh. Which I didn't realize was a thing until I started my new playthrough. And now I have like 5 health bars and I can't die. But no, yeah, I let her go. And then I had to go back because the PMCs, like the private military people, were fighting with the union police. And then there was a shootout and like 7 of them died.
Oh, okay. That's different.
I don't know if that happened for you. I don't know if that was normal, okay. But like all of the union members died except for 2 of them.
Oh, okay. Mine far less died for me.
Yeah. 2 of the PMCs died, I think. And then the Colossia lady left a note, like giving the ballistics of the shot.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, what happened to me was I got back to the Whirling Rags and there was the PMC people and they were going to start shooting the people that were, I guess, taking the blame for that guy's death. It was just those 7 guys and the lawyer lady. And then I stepped in and I took a shot at the guy who was leading the scab picket line thing.
Oh, okay. I took a shot at the weird sniper guy. Oh. Maybe that's why I missed and got everybody killed.
Well, what was interesting, and this might have been different, is that I had a lot of info on that guy. Like I had done a lot of interviews about who the dead guy was. And so I knew that that guy was the scab leader's brother. And so I was able to like talk him down enough, like got his confidence shaken enough to like he was faltering for a second. And in that falter, I got a shot off. I didn't end up
my opportunity then.
Yeah, I shot him. And then I think the sniper lady shot me and Kim. Yeah, Kim lets off a bullet and the sniper guy like shoots a bullet through the guy's hole in his eye from like a little hole for his armor is. And then as I'm like bleeding out, he's trying to help me up. And then as he's like, because I had established trust with Kim enough, then I had like advantage on the roll or whatever. So I could say, turn around. And then he ended up getting them because that's the bad ending.
That's an ending.
The bad ending. Well, it's not, I guess it's just an alternate ending. Okay. Where basically where Kim almost dies. And so then for the rest of the game, he's in the infirmary. So basically you just have to solve or, you know, you got to get to the end by yourself without Kim or you can do it with Kuno. Yeah,
that'd be sick.
That's the alternate. I guess that's the bad. That's like the bad ending, I guess.
I gotta have Kim get shot next time so I can take Kuno with me.
I think there's a very specific circumstance.
I'm sure there is. Yeah.
But yeah, there's an achievement for it. That's how I knew that it was a thing because I was looking through the achievements and it's like pretty rare that people got it. Let me see if I can find it, but yeah, that's the bad ending. But only 2 of the I think only 1 of the union people died.
That's a lot better than mine.
Yeah, that's true. But then I was limping the rest of the game.
I got like all of them killed. It was one of those where I knew I messed up, but I wanted to see where it went.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I went back and were like, because I missed the shot on the guy initially. And I'm like,
oh, well,
what's that going to change? It didn't change anything, but it made me feel better at least. Yeah, only 2.6 of the players on Steam have recruited Kuno as their partner. So
that'll be my sole mission next time.
Well, there you go. But yeah, I guess kind of going back to the politics, because this is more of a conversation about gaming at large and maybe just culture at large, and that it seems like people are averse to politics and art. And I think what they don't realize is that I think they love politics and art. It's just they're seeing the wrong politics and art.
People also aren't educated at all in politics, so they don't know what it truly means.
True. But
I think it's a combination of all of the things.
Yeah. But I think that this game does something special, and that I think it makes different political ideologies accessible in a way that isn't just painting them blanket bad, except if you're a centrist.
Which is true.
Which is true.
Or fascist, obviously, but yeah.
Is there even a fascist one? I think
there is, yeah. You can get fascist choices in dialogue.
Oh.
You can do it if you want, because the Measurehead guy, the Union bodyguard, who's like this like super racist, you can like join his program. So you can become a fascist in this game pretty easily.
Interesting.
Because I tried to like debate him out of being a racist, but it like ended up being like I have to join him to get through the gate. But then I just punched him and he fell over really easily, despite me having no points in any physical attributes.
Really?
I don't know how that happened.
I don't know either. I like did the race theory thought and then just deleted it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I don't know. I'm like, that feels gross. But
exactly.
But that's the thing. I also told one of the lorry drivers, I like kind of blackmailed him into giving me Ruby's information. And then he was like,
oh, yeah, I did that too.
He was like mad at me the rest of the game. And I was really sad because I liked him.
So I did that. And then I tried to make up for it by doing brilliant poetry. And I failed my poetry check every time.
Oh.
I went hard in rhetoric and conceptualization. So I was like an art communist. And not a cop like at all. But it was so sad. I ruined this guy's life, and then I spat some like really bad poetry at him.
Oh no. Well, I felt bad because I succeeded in poetry before ruining his life. So we were like close, and every time he was like impressed when I was talking to him.
No.
And then every time after that, he was like, oh, you're the guy who made me a bad person. I'm like, no, I didn't mean it. I'm trying to solve a murder and maybe a larger conspiracy that's put in place by a giant praying mantis. It's bigger than me.
It was pretty huge.
Yeah. I meant the whole thing is bigger. Everything is bigger than me. I'm just a little guy.
Exactly. And that's what I love about it.
Yes. It is great.
It's fantastic. I think, again, like world building cannot be complete if you don't have a ground, like politic that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm biased, so I think a historical materialist vision of making a world is the best way to do it, because you get to see the relations between all of these in a very real and economic like standpoint.
Yeah.
Like you get to understand that like Revachol was a monarchy before the revolution, and then the revolution was there for like a week or two and then it crumbled, and now it's like you're kind of ruled by this moral intern like huge government. And like there's suzerains of like all these gigantic companies and Wild Pines being one. And now you have this gridlock between the local union that in itself is corrupt. So it's just like a messed up situation all around. And you kind of you get to feel it because it is so real. This world building is so real. And I can even like pick out bits and pieces where I'm like, oh, this is this country. This is this country. This is this point in history. Like they're taking it and flipping it in a way that's like real. It makes you feel things and it gets you really invested in the decisions you make.
Sure.
And it gives you a read on all of the people you talk to, because all of the people you talk to have their own politic and you can get into every single one of them.
Yeah.
Which for me helped me make a lot of decisions and who I was trusting and what leads I was going off of.
Mm. I was just talking to everybody.
Or like you go to like Everett and he's like, break into someone's house for me. Like at first I didn't want to do that. And then you break into the guy's house and he's like, he's the crypto fascist guy. Yeah. So I just steal all of his stuff.
I found that guy's mug in the dumpster before. Yeah. And then like that mug was like, I feel at home in this person's house. So like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Or when I went in the apartment buildings and I found a pair of like fancy shoes and I put them on, and then my rhetoric is like, these shoes are not working class worthy. What are you doing wearing this bourgeois garbage? And then I threw the shoes away.
Oh, that's true. I was just trying to look as drippy as possible, exactly. Which was not achieved, because then I started finding pieces to the dead guy's armor, which saved me from the guy's shot. The guy that shot me,
did for me too.
I was wearing the armor. I don't know if you just die if you're not wearing it. I don't know what happens. But
why would you not wear the armor? You know,
it's sick. I was wearing I think I was wearing like the police investigators like black trench coat thing over it. So it was like didn't look good at all. And I was wearing the gloves too, which did not look good.
Yeah, I think I was wearing the same thing, because I mean the clothes actually do the RPG thing where they give you different stats. And I'm like, okay, I need certain stats to be good. Otherwise, I would have worn the most ridiculous outfit possible.
Oh, absolutely. But, yeah, I'm trying to think. Is there anything else I wanted to say? I don't think so. Frick. I thought I had something. I don't remember.
I feel like I have a lot of things, too. It's a lot to talk about and go over.
It is.
There's so many little details in here that are just like fantastic.
Yes. The
soundtrack's gorgeous. I love the soundtrack.
Didn't even talk about that.
Yeah. But I don't know. It really is like a very unique game in every aspect. I do want to play it more, which is something I don't usually do for single player games. But I don't know. It had just like such life to it, and you could tell the passion put into it, which is like incredibly rare. I don't see that a lot anymore at all. It's fantastic. The art styles are great. I mean, the graphics aren't like anything crazy, but you're more often than not looking at the right side of the screen when it's doing your dialogue options anyways.
Right.
You're not really focused on the actual like action going on in the game, but
I think that the graphics are really well done. And that it's like, it feels like hand painted.
Yes.
Like you can see like the brush strokes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that's all really well done. And like, it might be like one of the best like opening areas of any like RPG I've seen. And that like you immediately understand the conflict that is going, that is like central to the entire game, because you walk out of the hotel, you take a right, and there's a protest going on between the union and like scabs. And it's like, oh, okay, I understand the game that we're playing. So it like immediately introduces you to that aspect of the game, which is well done on a game development.
It's just well done all around. I feel like this is one where it's like you can't really replicate this.
No.
It's going to be one where it's like the world building is so good that every other game I'm going to play is going to feel like let down. I feel like if you don't have the politics to like man up and actually write a story like that, it's going to fall apart. Like Star Wars is meaningless if you take out the politics of it. And for the most part, it has been taken out.
Yeah.
It's just cool guys in sci-fi areas now. Mm-hmm. I feel like most things are like that. I mean, George Lucas's original vision was very political.
Absolutely. But, I mean, he's super anti-fascist. So
exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes the game so fantastic. And that's not something you're going to find anywhere else. It has to come from an indie dev, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not saying that it's frowned upon for other studios, but it's like you can't market it. It's something where it's like you have to kind of hide it in there. Otherwise, you know, it's not really going to get passed along. So I think the game is kind of niche, but like In a way, it's weirdly accessible. It's still funny. You can play it in a way where, like, you don't have to engage with that. I just don't think you're going to get the full picture of it. Because I have, like, a, you know, you get an emotional connection to most of these characters, and there's a lot of well-written characters in here.
Yeah.
Whether you hate them or love them, and all of that is literally tied into, like, the main political rhetoric of the game, because that's how you get everybody's personality and choices and everything.
Yeah. It's very, very well done. And I think, going off of your politics, I think the only other game that has kind of done this level of, like, of politicking and having it done well is Fallout New Vegas.
Yes.
There's one of the quests. It's like, it's the water one. I don't know if you remember it. It's kind of specific.
Years.
I think it's like the NCR, basically, if you're doing that route, it sends you out and it's like, hey, some of our farmers are sending in complaints that, they're not getting the amount of water that we promised them. Can you look into it? And if you look into it, then you see that there are some, like, independent farmers that have been siphoning off some of the water to, like, actually feed their neighborhood and isn't just funding this, like, the war effort, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so then you basically have to make the call, whether it's like, well, do you give it to the farmers that need it? Or do you actually just, like, follow through on what you're supposed to do? But on top of that, there's an added layer that, that you aren't the first NCR person to be sent out about this. The NCR sent two rangers, or maybe just one. They sent someone out to check it out before, and they haven't returned back. And it turns out the leader of the farm that was siphoning from the NCR killed that ranger to cover it up. And so now it's like, okay, you either, you know, turn this guy over, basically making the murder for nothing, and he feels, like, really apologetic about it, and you basically turn him over, make the murder for nothing, and also, like, basically, you know, doom a bunch of people to starve, because that's their one way of feeding themselves, or you let the guys who are siphoning the water keep the water, but maybe, you know, based on your actual beliefs, a murder is getting covered up and you're not doing anything about it. And it's like, that's like real
good stuff.
It's good stuff. And, like, the thing that's great about it is that people still debate on what the right thing to do is. And there isn't a right thing to do. And I think that this game is full of those types of situations where it's just like,
I mean, you're a brain dead detective who's kind of, like, lost his mind. And you're kind of just trying to fight through this case. And, like, everyone around you is also, like, varying degrees of miserable. And it's like this, there's a doom spiral happening throughout a lot of this game. But there's, like, these little moments where it's like, oh, my God, there's, like, tons of life in this. And it comes in the smallest moments. And it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, having read, like, Marxist stuff, like, I understand all the concepts of this. I think it heightens it to an even higher extent because I understand everything that they're alluding to. They're not shoehorning it, which is the best thing. Like, Marxism as a science works very well for story building, turns out, because you get to understand the entire history of an area and you get to understand the relations between worker and state through all of the different phases it goes through. And it's works on a way that's, like, so beyond what I thought could do. Like, I've had thoughts about that before as I was, like, you know, as I read these things, I'm like, oh, this perspective would be really cool if it you take it to, like, a world building piece for, like, a TV show or a movie, but I haven't seen it done until this game. And it's like, whoa, you know, people should latch onto this for more than just the, you know, the creative output, but it really just brings this game up to an 11. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very well done. I don't know what they're doing now, what the developers are.
Either. I didn't even know what the situation of this game is. So.
That's true. I mean, the last update, I think it came out, collage mode came out in March of last year. That was the last free update. No other posts since then. So, I don't know. I don't know if this game is still being supported with updates. I mean, they've already done enough frankly. This game is full of content. No, yeah,
it's done. The game's the game at this point.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess the only thing would be, like, more localizations, even though I think this game has a bunch of languages Chinese, already in it.
Turkish. It goes through literally everything, I think.
Yeah, except for voice acting. Voice acting is just in English, but
yeah,
everything else. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know
what they're up to. They have dyslexia-friendly fonts you can install on this now, too.
They do, and I didn't like it. Because it, like, messed with
the... Does it change the width of the letters and stuff?
It does, and it kind of changed, like, the UI scaling a little bit. I'm like, gotcha. I don't know how I feel about this.
Oh, I see. Yeah. That's interesting, though. I like that.
Oh, I'm glad that they did it. It's just, it messed with the scaling a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, didn't end up keeping with it, but... Yeah, I do like that is becoming an option, and I do like that font better. I don't know what it is.
It is cool, yeah.
But, yeah, that is Disco Elysium and our thoughts on it. Do you agree or disagree? I don't know how you would disagree. I don't.
How would you rate it?
How would you rate it? Let us know what you think about Disco Elysium in those hot comments down below. And if there's any other games or TV shows, movies that we might like based on this, let us know, and maybe we'll do a feature on it in the future.
I want to do these like once a month or once every couple months.
Oh, okay. Well, we can do that. But until then, we're signing off. Bye.